Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Fightin' Words on the Fightin' Words News Network. Fightin' Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there, please, please be very careful. Please stay your distance, wear your mask, and please, we worked very hard to have this wonderful audience. We don't want to lose any of you individually. Tonight we're going to dedicate the program to a young man that was born 6/20/66 at 3:22 a.m. As a young man, he in grade school, he excelled in football. He went on to Howard Career Center, where he was an all-state track and field participant. He graduated from the Sarasota Technical College with a degree both in medical technology and certified nursing assistant. And then in the year 1997, he joined the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, where he excelled as a corrections officer, a court officer, patrol officer, and then finally was promoted to director of accreditation for the law enforcement side of the sheriff's office. Unfortunately, on June 19th at 4:10 a.m., 9 years ago yesterday, we lost one of our founders of the program, my son Bob. So tonight is dedicated. This program is dedicated to Bob. Well, guys, it was a huge week this week. This is really a pleasure tonight. I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day, especially Chris, Bob, Zito, and Ty. We appreciate you, and I know your family does.
Thank you.
Bob, you want to start off?
Sure, yeah. Good to see everybody. Sorry I missed out last week with the wife graduating. We got to spend some time together on the East Coast. Yeah, we're really having a good time. So UFC stuff looking good. Still more fights coming up in the future, but we had a Cody Stallman versus Brian Keller. Brian Keller's on a 10th planet jiu-jitsu under Eddie Bravo, 135 pounds. That went to decision. Not a bad fight. Banging each other around. I don't think Keller could get in there and get what he needed to do on the ground. Cody kind of kept him on his feet and did some banging. Another big one was Cynthia Calvillo against Jessica Eye. Jessica, I like her a lot. I thought she'd do better, but Calvillo came away with the win. She's 9-1-1. Jessica's 15-8. Pretty much just dominated Jessica on the ground with ground and pound for most of the rounds.
That was pretty impressive, too, because Calvillo was moving up in weight. That was her first fight at bantamweight. So I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah, it was. It was good to see. Let's see what else we got. Charles Brosa got the win over Kevin Aguilar, 155 pounds. That was a battle. They were striking it up. Again, everyone's trying to get the knockout of the night. Everyone's trying to get paid. So it's looking good. Then we had Marvin Vettori versus Carl Robertson, the 190. The crazy part is Vettori. He weighed to 186, and they could be a 1 pound variant, so 185 pound fight. Robertson came in, 5 pounds heavy, and got put down real quick with a rear naked choke. And so I think I honestly want to see him out of the first round, which is surprising because when you usually the heavier guy kind of sometimes has that advantage. I know things have changed with UFC once they got rid of Rehydrate with. Banana bags, or whatever you want to call them, or the IVs. So that's can't do anymore. So everyone's got to kind of fight more at their weight class versus back in the day, these guys cut 15, 20 pounds, going down several weight classes, even more, and then rehydrate. Not the next day to be a beast. So that was a good one, too. And I guess other than UFC news is, Nunes, our favorite badass girl. She's doing good. She's got both belts, undefeated, kicking butt. Talking about retirement. Holly Holmes is challenging her, calling her out because Holly Holmes wants a rematch. That was back when Holly Holmes couldn't or Nunes beat Holly Holmes. Everyone was talking, because Holmes was the one that took down mighty Ronda Rousey, with that nice head kick. So they were thinking, Holly Holmes needs to prove herself against Nunes. And I think Holmes wants a shot at that again. But then again, Dana White, not sure if he wants to let her out of the contract. But Nunes is, thinking kind of like all the top. I think the top fighters are thinking right now, like, I'm on top. I've proved myself. Show me the money. And Dana's not really coming through with that. So I really hope things change here in the future.
Hey, Bob, I think what also happened is you take somebody like Nunez, who's earned quite a bit, and, you know, she's sitting at home with her wife, Nina Askarov. They're sitting at home during the, you know, pandemic, and they can't go anyplace, and they're like, you know, this isn't half bad. I don't miss not training. I don't miss not having to travel all the time. I don't miss doing media obligations. This isn't half bad, you know. I wonder if that set in a little bit.
Got to eat a Snicker, you know, or have that ice cream or whatever. So many times got to pass that up. You know, it's like I talk to people, they look at me like, well, you used to be a pro fighter? Like, look at you. I'm like, yeah, I've cut enough weight for all of us. I'm done. I'm over it.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy life now.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good. Todd, let me ask you, Bob Arum says that Joshua and Fury have finally come to an agreement on date and time. Do you have anything update on that?
I do not, but I did, you know, basically get what you got, that they actually have at least come to an agreement, not necessarily a contract. There's always a significant difference between the two, as we know. But they've come to some sort of two-fight agreement. And I really think they're expecting Wilder to step aside. But, again, it's all speculation. It's all talk. We're just getting up and moving now. I know Wilder's demanding his rematch. There are talks that might not happen, you know, just because of different things going on until maybe the first quarter of 2021. So, you know, until the Wilder thing is straightened out one way or the other, any talk of Fury Joshua, you know, what could happen is if he doesn't fight Wilder, the only thing that really would happen is he would be stripped, I would imagine, of the WBC belt. But it's still, I mean, it wouldn't, you know, obviously that hurts a little bit because of the unification element to the fight with he and Joshua. But that would, you know, that would be something, you know, we have to kind of see how it plays out. But that would be the biggest penalty, just being stripped, if he were to just go ahead and fight Joshua. So I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't.
What do you think, Z?
Well, I think Ty's exactly right. And for Deontay Wilder not to fight, they're going to have to give him step-aside money. I mean, really, he's not – I don't imagine him – you know, out of the kindness of his heart, doing, you know, not taking the fight. That's going to be a big fight in the UK, Fury and Joshua. This is one of the bigger fights, one of the biggest fights in the UK. Style-wise, I don't think Joshua stands a chance. I'd hate to say it. I mean, right now, Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight out there. I don't think Deontay Wilder stands much of a chance against Fury. I don't think Anthony Joshua does. Joshua is too mechanical. He is too methodical. And in boxing, I mean, for the most part, if you're going to be methodical, you need to be a devastator like Felix Trinidad. He was sort of methodical, but he was devastating. He was a boxer killer. Anthony Joshua is not exactly that. He's good, but he's a physical force who's learned how to box. But he's not the toughest guy. He's not a guy who's going to wear he could wear your engine down, but his engine wears down too. Tyson Fury, he's going to go 12. He's going to go 12, and he's going to for more or less work 12. Tyson Fury's not the biggest puncher, you know, per punch. But once he starts laying it on you, I mean, I don't anticipate Joshua surviving. Joshua, I don't see him. I mean, he has skills, but I don't see what he really poses against Tyson Fury. What sort of threat?
Hey, Butch, let me just amend my statement just from a news perspective. I just recalled as Zito was speaking. I don't think they're actually talking about Deontay stepping aside because I remember seeing an article. I didn't read it, but I just saw the headline and kind of skimmed through it. About Tim Bradley and Bob Arum, Tim Bradley and Andre Ward, both who worked with Top Rank as commentators, both of them had come out and said they think it's a mistake for Tyson Fury to look that far ahead and that far past Deontay Wilder to where he would already agree to a two-fight deal with Joshua. So because they were saying they think it's a mistake, obviously Deontay Wilder fight is still in play. They're just speaking beyond Deontay Wilder. So.
Okay. Hey, Chris, Aram says that he thinks that he's going to try and get the Pulev and Joshua together. He thinks that Pulev will bury Joshua. What's your thoughts?
No way. No way. I'll tell you what, I got a lot more confidence in Joshua than most people. That guy's big, he can box, and I don't see Kulev giving him a hard time. I really don't. What I'm thinking, though, I don't think Wilder is going to step aside. And I think it's stupid for Fury, just what Bob said, to look that far ahead. That's when you get in trouble. You look past your opponent. You know, that's not smart. One at a time. These guys are there's a lot of power with Wilder. He still can hit pretty damn hard. And you gotta really watch him. You can't be confident with him. One step at a time, Tyson. I don't think Tyson's a gifted with the biggest brain in the world either. You know? he doesn't give me that impression. And he ought to just sit the hell back one fight at a time. Let's see the Wilder fight, you know. Let's see it again. Let's see what the rematch brings. It was a great fight. And then he can look at Joshua down the road. Well, hell, that'll be another 3 or 4 months, 5 months past, past that. I mean, we're looking at possibly a year from now. Who the hell knows what's going to be around a year from now, you know?
Right.
So I'd like to see Wilder and Fury get it on and get it over with. And then and then go fight Joshua and then see what happens. But, I mean, it's this talk of signing a two. Who the hell dreamed that up? Is that Aram? He's always scheming, that guy.
Probably.
You know?
Sure.
I don't like him. He's always, you got to make, well, you got to throw a monkey wrench into it.
And he's Pulev's promoter, so that's why he's going to, you know, tout his horn as being the potential conqueror of Joshua as his promoter.
Sure.
Not to mention, if Pulev conquers Joshua, then he also has, as we know, Tyson Fury. So, you know,
man,
he's a bit of a wish.
Well, he's thinking of himself. There's no question about it. He puts himself first. You know, not hard to figure him out.
There's an awful lot of ink lately, both on the MMA side. I'm going to get to that with Bob, but on the fighting side, as far as Dazen not paying enough money to the fighters, do you have any information on that?
Me?
I'll let Bob speak to that first. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, no, I don't have, as far as on not getting paid. I mean, we've been talking about that, you know, for a week now, how the MMA is not getting paid. We were talking about the number three matchup between Wilder and Fury. They're also going to do, like, they're talking in talks for MMA, a matchup of the third, Stipe Miocic and I always forget his name. Cormier.
Daniel Cormier. Yeah.
So that's, you know, not third, you know, and I thought Cormier was retired, but again, certain people are coming back for a certain amount of money. Some people's getting money, but the top, I don't think the top guys are getting paid enough for what they deserve.
Mm-hmm. Ty?
All right. So speaking to the MMA, as you guys said, you know, we've been covering this for, you know, since it's been ongoing, and yeah, you know, all those guys deserve to get paid more money. Period. You know what I mean? They want to be in the same sphere as boxers. You can't blame them. And so, you know, because they're working for a monopoly, they don't have that opportunity. So I can absolutely understand their opinion, and I side with them. In regards to boxing and DAZN, So that really kind of started with Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia has been bickering back and forth with Golden Boy over the past 2 years or so. Actually, when Canelo was bickering with him, so was Ryan Garcia. It just wasn't as reported as much because, you know, obviously Canelo's the golden goose. But a beef has kind of surfaced between Golden Boy and Ryan again. And one of the things that Ryan mentioned was that not happy with the zone put together for him. And, you know, along with what he's making. And from that, I have heard no specific names, but I have heard other fighters who were on the zone kind of not being too happy with what they get paid. What's also happening, too, is, and you spoke to this last time I was on, we talked about Canelo Alvarez potentially defending against Sergey, not Caratano, I don't think it's a fighter. Who is Zito? The guy I like.
Derevchenko.
Derevchenko, yes. Part of the reason why is because, obviously, of, you know, everything that's going on, the zone right now cannot necessarily afford to pay a Canelo and a Gennady Golovkin, per se. That's a fight they have bookmarked. But if it was somebody else, like they can't afford to pay the challenger as much as the challenger should get paid and still pay the star what the star wants to get paid. So that's a problem that they're running into. And Ryan Garcia, kind of in his beef with Golden Boy, kind of opened the lid on that, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think you nailed it, too, with the MMA versus boxing, because the MMA, it's a monopoly. The UFC is running everything versus boxing.
Yeah.
It's got so many different promotions to where they can compete with sponsorship and get these guys paid. And so if they're coming behind a little bit, it's just the sponsorship, and they can pick those other things up. But I gotta pray that, you know, more fighting organizations for MMA, you know, RMMA, all those other ones, they take off and do better, so the guys can compete for fight.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm reading an awful lot of from the press that Ryan Garcia may be coming over or maybe pulling guys from the MMA. But he's looking at trying to get Cejudo to Cejudo rather to fight him. Okay, Zito, you're the technical expert. Can that happen? Will it happen? And if it does, who's going to be the victor?
Dumbo Cejudo, the MMA fighter.
Yeah, yep. Henry Cejudo.
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 Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Triple C. It all depends on what box form they're fighting at. If they're fighting boxing, then Cejudo doesn't stay the team. If they're fighting, you know, anything else, then Ryan Garcia doesn't stay in the team. I mean, as far as that goes. It's as simple as that.
Well, yeah, because you're not matching up. You're not matching up like a McGregor versus De La Hoya, or I mean oh, God, whatever. You know what
Ooh.
I'm saying? But it's not like a really good boxer. I mean, Henry Cejudo or Cejudo, I mean, he's not good with his hands. He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'll take that back. He's pretty good with his hands.
You know what? It, like Zito said, if they fought in boxing, Henry Cejudo would get the whipping of his life. If they fought in anything else, Ryan Garcia would get the whipping of his life. It's that simple. They really are two different sports. They're both combat sports, but, you know, they're two different sports. Kind of like drag racing and stock car racing. They're two different sports. Both racing, two different sports, though.
Well,
not
so
hey, guys, we're joined.
Around boxers. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Good, Bob. Finish up.
That's the only thing that saves me when I'm sparring these younger boxers, you know, so much surgery, I can't go hard. And if they start picking it up, well, you they come real heavy on that front leg. I just tap their leg with a little friendly leg kick.
Exactly. We call that the settle down, Bob. We call that the settle down.
Yeah.
Settle down.
Settle down.
Settle down.
I got some more stuff back here.
Yeah. Settle down.
Hey guys, we're joined by a guy who was one of our very first interviews, and went on from being an interviewee to a member of our extended family. I used to love when we were on AM radio to introduce him as faster than the speeding bullet, more powerful than the locomotive, able to leap small women in a single bound. Mr. Benny Henderson.
Ah,
big dog.
I have not met an MMA guy or a boxing guy who can stand toe-to-toe with me when it comes to eating pizza. Just saying. Listen, sweep the leg. I will sweep the leg. I don't give a damn. I'll crane kick you. I will crane kick you. But you got to know tonight.
For those of you who don't know, Benny is not only the at one time was the Arkansas heavyweight champion. He's also a writer for Doghouse Boxing. He was with Convicted Artist Boxing. And he and Bob actually did a live telecast in California, in Los Angeles, California, for boxing. So, Benny, why don't you take it from there and give us a little bit more of your background.
Well, I like porn when I'm not in it, and I'm just kidding. I am going to keep this very clean, very clean. I used to do gay porn, guys. I'm just telling you, but I had to quit the job. It paid good, but it was a pain in the butt, so I quit that job. And,
it pays good, but it's a pain in the ass.
It's been 16 weeks. This month has been 16 years since I started writing for Doghouse Boxing. And I interviewed a lot of good people, man, and a lot of butts, too, you know. I was cussed out by some really good people, and I had a great time doing it. I was a part of the Boxing Writers Association of America there for a while. Bernard Fernandez, you know what I'm talking about, brought me in as a full member. And I got kicked out for not paying my dues. It was like, paying my dues or buying beer. So guess what? I got drunk instead. And now I'm just kind of doing a little bit here just for BoxingInsider.com from time to time. Unfortunately, Doghouse Boxing went belly up a few years ago. Now, I have been in talks with the owner about starting it back up, but we're maybe not at this time because I'm collecting beer cans for a penis enlargement, so I'm like drinking a lot. So, I want to thank y'all for me to be a part of this program because just a few weeks ago, you guys had the legendary Hall of Famer Bernard Hopkins, and now I'm downhill because now I'm on the program. So apparently the show's not is lacking or something's not going good. You know, nothing wrong there, man. But, I love this show. Bob started this years ago, and it's great to be a part of it. So thank y'all for letting me be a part of it. I don't know why. Apparently, y'all just hard up for guests. you have an MMA guy there, right? What's his name?
Yeah, Bob.
Bob.
Yes, sir.
Bob and Lee.
Got to have a Bob on the show.
Who is your favorite MMA guy, brother?
Well, myself, of course.
There it is.
Well, you know what? I have to go that route. Then I have to do my, you know, then I have to throw out my coach, Maurice Smith, and then my other training partner, the Shamrock, Ken Frank Shamrock, Garcia Kasaka, so many different guys, Pat Hawk, you know, stuff like that. But, I'd say my all-time, one of my favorite guys would be a toss-up for Randy, the National Couture, and Chuck Liddell. I really dug those guys. I really like Forrest Griffin. I think Forrest Griffin had to retire too early because he had too much scar tissue. But, yeah, those are some of my, you know, going back, probably some of my faves. Randy Couture, one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet. Stand-up dude, great dude. Made the news, I don't know, about 6-8 months ago, walked himself to the hospital after a heart attack. You know what I mean? Just a beast. But, yeah, so that'd probably have to be my lineup.
Well, I didn't want you to tell me your life story, man. It's like one or two guys. I mean, damn. No. I'm just kidding. And before I go on, I got to give a shout out to my boss there, Brian, my Glenn. I believe he's listening. And if he's not, I will cut him here in a minute. But anyway, he said he might listen in. Let me tell you a story. Man, I used to write actually for Bruce Buffer when he ran a website, or his over website. He didn't run it, but he just owned it. It was Max Fighting. And he brought me in. Long story short, it was when, oh my gosh, Tito Ortiz fought that night. Was it, it was a UFC, it was right when, was it UFC 55? I can't remember when they came out with the fighting, you know, the fighting, whatever it is, the young guys or whatever, fighting. Yeah, I've been drinking. Anyways, funny story, man. I walk in, and it's the Mandalay Bay, and Josh Koscheck was standing there with, Chuck Liddell. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, I'm trying to find where, you know, because I'm from Texas. I don't know where the hell I was going. So I actually got to walk Chuck Liddell and got Josh Koscheck. I walked them through Mandalay Bay like I was somebody, you know, to the
for the fight. That's cool.
And I'm sitting there, and Randy Couture is in there doing a radio interview. And when he gets through, that's when he was getting preparing him to fight Liddell or whatever. And they weren't fighting. That's when they were both coaches on the fighting championship, right? Well, I think that's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Called Ultimate Fighter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimate Fighter. They were both. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm used to. I've been drinking. So I'm sitting there. And I'm actually talking to Randy's girlfriend at the time. And I said, hey, man, I can say hi to him. He got through. All these magazines had him on the some kind of magazine with him and stuff on there. Sorry if you hear my dog barking. He just said, hey, what's up? And I said, hey, can you sign this? Because, yeah. He starts signing every one of them. So,
wow.
Took them all, man. Everybody got Randy Couture autographs that year for Christmas. So, anyways. And I could have beat him in an eating pizza. I could have beat him. I know I could have beat him.
Awesome.
Benny, you have a show on Wednesday night. Is it Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday night?
My show was, yeah, Tuesday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why don't you give a plug to your show while we got you on?
Oh, that show? Oh, no, they fired me. Oh, yeah. I thanks for bringing it up. I appreciate it there, Butch. I mean, seriously. This was really going good. I mean, I'm going back to quarantine, you know? This is BS.
I'm so happy for you.
Actually, I got it mixed up. The show was what I used to do with you guys was on Tuesdays, and then I did some on Rock Rage Radio. I can't believe I just plugged them. On Sundays, and I recently just really quit everything. I had just dropped Facebook and everything because of social media. I am so fed up with how people hurt each other and talk smack about each other, and how you can't use it to be nice. You have to be hateful, and only your opinion matters. So I actually quit everything. So thanks for bringing that up, man. I was really doing good until you brought that.
I'm good. I'm glad.
You know, my mom just died about 2.5 years ago. You want to talk about that? No.
Damn.
She really did. But anyways, this is going south quick, man. It's like my love doctor quarantine. They said you got to keep
a Benny. You just had a recent conversation with one of the guys that we have on quite a few times, Layman Brewster. Tell us anything about that? What he's doing now?
Well, yesterday he was smoking weed, but other than that, he's back in Indianapolis. He has his own gym. And yesterday, he had something coming up. He didn't tell me. He wanted to tell me, but he's not yet. But he was actually yesterday when I talked to him about this time. He had just bought a new remote control car. He was outside playing with it, and apparently his dog, which is like a Masterson, like attacked it. So off the bat, I could tell you what's going on with him. But anyways, I don't know what else to say. But back to quarantine, man. How did you guys handle that, man? Because it was really hard for me in my sex life because they said you had to be 6 feet apart. And I'm trying to keep this as PG as possible, but as small as I am, 6 feet apart. I mean, 2 feet apart. I mean, hell, 6 inches apart is hard. But 6 feet apart, I mean, you know, it's hard. So my wife and I now, we're making love over the phone. Seriously, it's through text. I text her and say, you don't make love? She texts, no, go to bed. I'm a guest male. So, love life, you know. But I was going to stream it online, but I couldn't afford it, you know, because, you know, I'm drinking a lot. But anyway, I don't know what else to say.
I guess it probably might be appropriate this time to ask you a boxing question. Does there anyone have a question for Benny?
Nobody? Just do it. Crickets. Why do we ask you?
I got you one. So we've got Teofino Lopez is moving up to 154. And he's training for his Lomachenko fight. What's your thoughts on Lopez versus Lomachenko?
I am going to go Lomachenko.
Mm-hmm.
Just because. That's all I got to say. And because I don't know who you're talking about. I've been drinking, and I am thinking about MMA. And you told me a sidebar. You could, like, give me, like, some kind of, like, that's what I did. I mean... Really? No, Lomachenko, man. He's a good dude. He's a good scrapper. Going to the weight is always, you know, listen, do you lose power? That's the problem. You know, you have a guy already in that way who probably had, you know, keep that power. So, I don't know if that makes any sense. Anybody else got any questions?
Yeah. See, what do you think?
Cricket.
What, Lomachenko and Lopez?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, right now, I think Lopez is the matchup that's going to be made. And in boxing, sometimes you just can't wait. You know, the opportunity comes, you have to take it. I don't think Lopez is necessarily ready for Lomachenko. I think he's still a little young for that level. But, I mean, Lopez is a hard-hitting guy. So, if, I mean, who knows, he has a shot. He definitely has a puncher's shot. But Lomachenko's just, I mean, I just think he's just too skilled right now, especially for Lopez right now.
Yeah, and I agree with you, man. Like, listen, one punch can change the history of everything. And let's go back to, who was this, man? Tommy Morrison versus Michael Bent. Remember that? No one gave Michael Bent any kind of whatever, and he knocked Morrison, you know, put him out. Remember the night that Lennox Lewis fought? Oh my gosh, I could see his face. Remember he knocked? Oh my gosh! Remember he knocked Lennox Lewis out?
Yeah.
What's his name? Remember
Oliver McCall.
Thank you very much. Remember Oliver Call, that one punch. He had his eyes closed,
yeah.
By the way. That one punch. Like, the other night, my wife and I went to make love. She said no. And I went to catch her and she pumped the left foot, right? So we didn't make love. But she hit me. Anybody else got a question? Cricket. Okay, I got a story before I get off here. I got a story about Mike Tyson. One time I interviewed Mike Tyson. And I'm going to tell you guys something. Mike Tyson, I've loved Mike Tyson, you know, since Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And he was one of my heroes, you know, except for the, you know, Air Biden incident. No, I would have been Holyfield's here, too. But anyway, I remember a guy telling me years ago, he goes, you know, Mike Tyson should be your hero because he's a convicted rapist. I'm like, have you seen my family? I mean... We're not racist, of course. Well, I'm not. But I'm just saying that, you know, we got drunks and killers, and my grandpa was actually a murderer. No joke. And a Baptist preacher. But listen, true story. Any questions? No. But listen, I was going to interview Mike Tyson, and I was doing a roundtable. I was working for Boston Talk at that time. So I had to do a roundtable. You know, everybody calls in and gets my question. Yeah. This is when Mike come out. He was going to do his, he's going to be a promoter, if you remember that. So I never got called upon to talk to Mike. So I called the owner, Boston Talk, Greg Leon. I said, man, they just kind of ditched me, bro. He said, give me a minute. He's friends with Mike. He called Mike. They called me 3-way. Mike was just getting to the cab. And so you got to understand, at that time, I've interviewed, you know, like 10 years. And I wasn't in awe at that time. You know, I interviewed a lot of people. But I was like in awe of Mike Tyson. And I went to talk, and I stumbled over my word. And I'll never forget, this is my best Mike Tyson. He goes, oh, man, come on, Benny, come on, N-word. He called me the, Mike Tyson called me the N-word. This is no joke. He was the GA, not ER, right? But he called me the N-word. He goes, no, come on, N-word. So we did the interview, and when we got through the interview, we sat there and talked for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And I told Mike how I felt about him, how he meant to me, and he was like, yeah, whatever. And I said, hey, Mike, I cannot wait to tell everybody that you called me the N-word. And this is honestly, man, I lie a lot, but I'm going to tell you the truth about this one. That's Mike Tyson's voice. I said, Mike, tell everybody to call me the N-word. He goes, No, Benny, come on. Yeah, come on. The N-word can mean anything, many things. It can mean, N-word can mean you're my best friend. N-word can mean you're my partner. N-word can mean you're my homie. Or the N-word can mean you won't start mother ever. He never told me which one I was.
He left you with it. You figure it out. Wow.
That is an honest to God true story, man. He never told me which one I was. And it hurts me to this day. I lay in bed and I think about it. Am I sorry, Mother Effer, or am I just one of the homies? I don't know which one I am, man. So, and at 53 years old, I don't care if he fights the pillow. He's not who he was 15 years ago, but I damn sure will buy it because it's Mike Tyson. I don't care.
So. Yeah. Ray, we appreciate your time. Please tell Sharon we thank her for letting you be on with us. And it's always a pleasure to speak to you each week.
Yes, sir.
You're kicking me off now?
Yes, sir. I have another interview coming on.
And she's a lot prettier, by the way. Hey, listen, guys, God bless you. Say it's good. And, hey, Bob, remember, sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Later.
Good to hear from you, big dog.
Say hello to Sharon and the kids. Take care.
Thank you.
Now, unfortunately, I talk to Benny on a weekly basis. In fact, he was the last one that Bob talked to before he passed away. And Benny is a good family friend. And unfortunately, sometimes he is in his cups, as he seems to be tonight. So
we got the big dog tonight instead of Benny. We got the big dog. So.
Yeah.
We got
right.
Big dog Henderson
right.
Tonight.
So I'm going to go get Michelle on, but... Ty, what do you think of Earl Spence says he's got 3 fights left at 147 before he moves up to 154?
You know, I think that makes sense.
No,
I'm sorry, please, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. As we know, Earl's the guy who kind of blows up in weight between fights. Although, for you know, since his last fight with Sean Porter, you know, he had the car accident. And since coming out the hospital, he's not letting his weight get back up. In fact, he's been pretty proud of the fact that he's been keeping his weight down. But with that said, he's a bigger guy. He's a bigger guy at 147. Not big like we're historically used to, like the Sugar Ray Leonards and Thomas Hearns and those guys, but big for this era at 147. And so it should be expected that he would move up, you know, relatively soon. And we also have to remember is, even though it's pretty early in his name recognition and early in his reign, Errol Spence is like about to turn 30 if he's not 30 just yet. So he's not exactly a young pup either.
Yeah,
and right now
he's
saying, Z, that – go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I agree. But with Errol, you got to be careful moving up. You have to be careful. Just because he's moving up. Errol is about 5'10". You're dealing with junior middleweights. These guys, I mean, they tend to be 6 foot, you know, at least.
He's not
going to be the biggest guy like a guy like J-Rock. I mean, he's on the smaller side of middle or junior middle. So you figure
he's bigger than Errol.
He's bigger than Errol. So when you're moving up and you're finding guys all of a sudden 6'2", you know, you're fighting a Charlo who's going to, you know, have you by some size and some arm reach. Now, that inside banging to the body style gets a little harder. It gets a little harder.
You know what, too,
Zito,
and he acknowledged.
Not getting there.
And Zito, he acknowledged he had that the size and strength of Kell Brook gave him some issues. So that's a very good point.
We're joined by a wonderful friend, Michelle Rosato, who is a promoter out of Philadelphia. Michelle is. Why don't you plug your company, Michelle?
Well, I don't really know what to say. I'm a promoter, Raging Babe, out of Philadelphia and Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, with COVID-19, you've run into some major problems. And I see that the State Athletic Association or Commission has put fights on hold through the end of 2020. That must really cause a backup problem for you. How are you handling that?
Well, the Pennsylvania State Commission hasn't done that. I'm not quite sure what you're referring to. But Philadelphia County is entering what they're calling the green stage on Monday. So things are starting to open back up slowly but surely. And we would be able to do a show, but with 250 people max, which that's still not enough people to do a show, to turn a profit, or even to break even. So we just have to wait for those numbers to go up so that we could allow more people into the venue. And, you know, if it were, you know, half capacity, I would consider it. But it's just going to take probably a couple or a few more months for, you know, them to open up a little more.
Sure. Now, would that be at the 2300 Arena, or where were you looking at for your venue?
Correct. Yeah. I run shows at the 2300 Arena in South Philadelphia. We put anywhere between, I don't know, 1300 to 1500 people in there. So, again, if they said to me that, you know, we could do half capacity, then I would strongly consider doing it.
Mm-hmm. And of the Philadelphia fighters that are out there now, is there anybody that you have under contract to fight soon?
Well, all of our guys are under contract to fight on the Philly special card. However, I've made it clear to them and clear to their teams that if they get an opportunity in the meantime, you know, to fight on a top rank card on ESPN or on an Al Haymon card when he gets back and going, that I wouldn't stop them from doing it because they need to eat, they need to fight, they need money.
Sure.
And right now, you know, our shows in Philadelphia depend on having people in the crowd. So right now, Top Rank and Haymon and Eddie Hearn and those guys, they're able to bring boxing back because they have TV package money and they have hedge fund money and they have big investors. So they can move millions of dollars around and they could afford to lose, you know, a million here, a million there until things get back to normal. I don't have the luxury of doing that. So the fighters know that if something comes up and if it's a good opportunity for them, if it's good money, if it's a good fight, and if they want to take it, I would not hold them back. I would definitely, you know, encourage them and root for them and let them go fight.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as you're in partnership now with Russell Peltz, right?
I've been partnered with Russell for about 6-7 years. I don't have any fighters signed to me under promotional agreements. That's something I'm not ready to do just yet. I am partners with Russell on a couple different fighters, but it's more on an advisory agreement. It's not promotional, so I don't owe anybody fights. It's more about getting certain guys fights and managing them and doing different marketing things for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, is some of the local guys that we've talked to in the past is LaMotta, Cornflake LaMotta,
mm-hmm.
Ray Robinson,
mm-hmm.
of course, the great, I'm having a brain fart here, but are they fighting up there at all? Or are they under your contract at all?
No. Thomas LaMotta has started doing his own promotional shows, and he was doing quite a bit in Atlantic City. I do know that he would like to start promoting shows in Philadelphia. I know he's looking for a fight. I saw a press release from him the other day saying that he wanted to fight Islandy Lara.
Right.
Ray Robinson, his last two fights have been pretty big fights. And both fights kind of gotten the end of the short end of the stick. I think they're looking for another big fight for him. So fighting at the local level at the 2300 Arena, that's just not where he's at anymore. I think he's on to bigger and better.
Now, I know that some of the casinos up there, like Park and the Sugar House, were thinking about having boxing. Would that interfere with you? Or would you be putting your fighters in there?
No, I mean, Johan Promotions, they have a contract with Parks Casino. So if the casino is ready to open back up, if they're ready to put, you know, 1,200 people in a room, then, you know, that doesn't mess me up. They're going to make their own fights. And, you know, but, you know, if the casino is going to be allowed to do that, then I'm going to be allowed to do it. Because, you know, Philadelphia, we have the same governor. And we have the same mayor. So if they say it's a green light, you could have a crowd, then I'm going to be doing the show too.
Good, good. Then you hope to get that up in the next month or so?
You know, I don't know. The governor of Pennsylvania, he's pretty tough. And, you know, there has been some lawmakers pushing him to open things back up. And they've been, you know, having all types of meetings. And he's not ready to do that yet. He does not feel like Philadelphia is ready or the state of Pennsylvania to fully open back up, but he is feeling a lot of pressure. I know they've been like stepping on his neck every day. I've been reading about the lawmakers, you know, like pressuring him, but he's going to do it when he feels the time is right. And if I had to take my best guess, I'm going to say September. If I had to guess.
Okay. And guys, anybody have a question for Michelle? Okay.
Did you see Michelle or what was that? What was the name of your organization?
Raging Bay, like Raging Bull.
Raging Bay. Okay, I think I read an article about you not too long ago. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, there was an article
I've still been getting very good press. For the Philly special, even though it's not happening. We have a really good, solid, competitive card on paper, and it is still intact, you know, and right now what we're seeing on TV, you know, aren't the best matches. They are getting better, but it is hard right now to make good fights just with the financial stuff going on and not being able to have a crowd and having to be quarantined in a bubble and, you know, I think the fights are going to get better, but I keep on screaming to everyone, like, you know, I still have this card. It's still intact. It's competitive. A network needs to pick it up. You know, if you guys are looking for good fights, pick up the Philly special.
Yeah, absolutely. Best luck. I appreciate what you're doing. Yeah, because even as an ex-fighter, you know, letting guys not necessarily out of their contract, but to put food on their table, because right now everyone's scraping by.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just encouraging the guys to stay in the gym and stay ready by any means, because you never know when the phone call is going to come up with an opportunity. And so I've been, you know, monitoring them and keeping in touch with them. Like, hey, did you go for a run today? You know, jump some rope, do some shadow boxing, at least stay in some type of shape. You know, don't blow up 25, 30 pounds over. You know, you got to be able to seize the moment and take those fights if that call comes in two, three weeks notice. So for the most part, a lot of the guys are still working out. They're staying ready. They're staying in shape, ready to go. And like I said, if that call comes in and it's a good opportunity for the guy and the guy says, Michelle, I got a call from, you know, Top Rank and they're offering me $50,000 to fight one of their prospects, I'm going to say take it.
Sure.
Michelle, can you give us a general consensus of how your fighters are feeling at the moment, just during this pandemic?
You know, they've been very understanding. As much as I've been trying to motivate them, they try to motivate me too. Like, Raging Babe, don't worry about it. We'll be back. We're going to put on a show. We got your back. You know, we wish, you know, they've been just as big motivators for me as I am for them. Of course, they're a little disgruntled, but they haven't been impatient. Like, I don't see them doing anything dramatic or, you know, they're staying patient. They're frustrated, disgruntled, you know, upset, but they're not impatient. They're staying in the gym. They're working out. And, you know, they're just like, let us know when we're ready. We're going to put on a show. We're going to pass the house.
Great. Great. Anybody else have any other questions? Well, Michelle, I know you have another engagement, and I really appreciate you giving us the time tonight. We'd like to have you on as soon as you set your cards for your show and let everybody know out there. If you're in the Philadelphia area, you can take a look at there was a article last week on Boxing News 24 about Michelle and Raging Bay Productions, and you'll understand what it is and what it's like to be a young person starting out in a business is very tough. So
it's tough for us small fries, the smaller promoters. You know, in boxing, you have the haves and you have the have-nots, and sometimes they forget about the middle people. So I like to call myself, you know, I'm the middle class promoter. I represent for the middle class, and those are the type of fighters that we have and that fight for us. And it's hard for us small guys right now because we depend on the live gate. And without being able to sell tickets and doing the hustle and bustle in the street, we're just out of business for now. So a lot of us are getting hurt. I mean, there's Bobby Hicks in Chicago and Christy Martin down in Florida. And I mean, I can go on and on. There's smaller promoters that they're out of business right now.
Michelle, let me ask you a quick question. I don't want to hold you on. But strategically, right? You know, hopefully we come out of this. We're back to live gates that aren't so limited in capacity. Strategically, how do you plan to not be in this position again? How do you plan to potentially build your brand or at least create a safety net with your brand so you don't, you know, have this – so if this happens, you're a little bit more prepared. And I guess I'm asking you for everyone. What do you do?
I'll be 100% honest with you. Without a TV package – or a hedge fund, we're all out of business. And right now, there's the Fab Four, which is Top Rank, Golden Boy, Eddie Hearn, Master in Boxing, and Al Haymon PBC. They have TV deals, streaming deals. Al Haymon has a hedge fund that he pulls from. Eddie Hearn has crazy investors at The Zone. Golden Boy is with The Zone, so they're getting a bunch of dates that are being paid for.
Right.
Top Rank gets millions of dollars from ESPN when they do shows. So if you're a promoter and you don't have a TV package deal, or if you don't have a hedge fund to pull from, you know, that's what it's going to take. So moving forward, I have been talking to some networks about, hey, give me a couple show box dates next year, or hey, Impact, pick up, you know, or Impact, you know, give me 4 or 6 dates next year. So, you know, I've been really working that angle because if this were to happen again, at least I would have a TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
one
not
more
that
question,
easy,
Michelle.
Because if it were that easy, everybody would have a TV deal.
Oh, absolutely. How difficult is it to try to put yourself or, you know, even any promoter in a position to work with one of the big four? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I work very well with Top Rank. When they come to Philadelphia or Atlantic City or even in Tucson, Arizona, you know, they subcontract me and I work their shows and I, you know, I help them with all that. So we have a great working relationship. I feel like I have a good relationship with Golden Boy. Last year when Matchroom Boxing came to Philly with Tevin Farmer and Gabe Rosado, they subcontracted me and Pelt Boxing. We worked closely with them. We ran the show. It went well.
Okay.
I have not yet worked a PBC card or with anybody at Heyman Boxing, but I'm not opposed to it. I feel like I have good relationships, but at the end of the day,
you guys
have to understand that they have their own fighters and they have their own obligations. So they're not just going to give me a TV date for my Philly guys, you know, because they have 200 fighters of their own that, you know, they have to guarantee fights. And, you know, so again, it's just not that simple.
Yeah, no, I know it's not.
Good. Well, Michelle, again,
kudos to you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Kudos.
Thank you. I'm hanging in there. I'm still fighting a good fight. But I'll definitely let you guys know for sure when I get an inclination of any sort of when we'll be back.
That'd be great. And please say hello to Russell. He's a good friend.
All right. You got it. Thank you, fellas.
All right. Thanks a lot, Michelle. Okay. Appreciate your time.
Have a good night. You got it.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I guess Big Baby Miller has gotten his license back. He's looking for a fight in July. Z, who do you see would be a good matchup for him?
Any lower caliber fighter. Big Baby, to me, he's a hype job. He's purely a hype job. I respect him because he gets in and he's a boxer, so I do respect that. But the level that, you know, he's yapping about is not the level he's on. It's as simple as that.
All right, and then we get, how about Billy Joe Saunders 2 weeks ago said he was going to retire. Now, this week has been nothing but the number of fights that they're trying to line him up for. What do you think, Ty?
Billy Joe Saunders is, he's so tongue-in-cheek, and that's first and foremost. He's very tongue-in-cheek. He's still a little immature, and you know what? Billy Joe Saunders, I don't think he's ever really loved boxing. He's just really good at it, but I think he's just blowing smoke right now. Who knows with Billy Joe? You really don't know his motivation. Regarding Big Baby, he's coming back. I don't know the opponent's name. But the guy he's fighting fought a prospect named Jermaine Franklin, who's been getting a lot of buzz on Showbox. And he debatably, arguably beat Jermaine Franklin. And that's kind of where he gets what little bit of recognition he gets from arguably beating Jermaine Franklin. So Big Baby's coming back against a guy who, you know, obviously, you know, his promoters expect him to beat.
Hey, Chris, Terrence Crawford is confident that his next fight's going to be with Manny Pacquiao at 147. What's your thoughts?
Where did he get the confidence?
Same place he got his.
Everybody wants to fight Pacquiao. You know, poor Pacquiao. I don't know. I don't know. Terrence Crawford, he's another mystery guy like Billy Joe Saunders, you know? He's a great fighter. Let's see him fight. Christ, all we do is talk about him. You know what I mean? Get in a ring once in a while. You know, he's got that great background, you know, down in Nebraska there. He's got a great following. Everything's been in his favor. Pacquiao probably would give him a little bit of a problem. I don't know if he could beat him or not. I don't know what Pacquiao. I never know what Pacquiao has left. I never know who's going to show up that night. And Crawford's a beautiful boxer. He adapts to styles. He adapts to styles. And Pacquiao's got one style. It's hard for him to change his style. You watch a couple of Pacquiao fights. You know how he's going to fight. So it would be interesting. It would be interesting. And I think Crawford's never had what you call a great payday. So this would be a big fight for him. And I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him fight anybody. I haven't seen him for so long. You know, I don't know what the hell these guys are doing. But
Terrence Crawford said he is not taking a pay cut during COVID. He specifically said, fans or not, he's not taking, you know, whether fans are in attendance or not, he expects to get paid his base salary, is not taking a pay cut to fight in the middle of the COVID. Want me to fight in COVID?
Unless he play baseball.
Pay everything. Yeah, right?
50,
well,
50,
you know, a lot of those guys did just catch corona. You know, but some of those guys did just catch corona, so that may be his concern now. So.
Ty, we got one last question here about Alexander Usyk versus Derek Chisora in November of or October of 20.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that fight. You know, Usyk is one of my favorite guys, man. He is literally one of my favorite fighters and one of my favorite characters in the sport. Even when he was dominating at cruiserweight, I didn't think his style translated to heavyweights of today. I think his style translates to, like, I think he, like him and Chisora, the Chisora fight is going to tell me a lot. That's a good gauging point, a good measuring stick, a good litmus test to, you know, to tell me what kind of heavyweight he is. But at the same time, no matter what kind of heavyweight he is, he's not gonna be able to beat the giants of the division, the Tyson Furies, the Joshuas or the Wilders. Those guys are just too big and too dynamic for him. However, I'm curious to see where he fits in the pecking order, you know, specifically of the 6'4" and under heavyweights, which Chisora is. And Chisora, as we know, is a high quality gatekeeper at this point in his career. So, you know, he separates the wheat from the chaff. So we'll find that out about Alexander. But I think it's going to be a pretty grueling fight, win or lose, for Usyk.
Good. All right, guys. Well, we've come up to the end of our hour here. In fact, we ran over a little bit. But I want to thank Bob. I know you're traveling back. Please be safe on that on the road there. And have a great time. Please extend our wishes to a happy congratulations to your wife on her graduation. And to everybody on the air, I want to wish you a very happy Father's Day and the first happy Grandfather's Day to a certain person who happens to be on air.
Well, thank you guys so much. It was a pleasure.
Okay, Bob. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. All right. Take care, Bob. We'll see. All right.
All right, Chris.
Have fun, Bob.
Thanks a lot, Chris. All right. Z, you want to lead us out?
Oh, sure, dude. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Michelle. I want to thank Benny. I want to thank Bob, Dr. Chris. I want to thank you, Butch and Ty. I want to thank all my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. If anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Just want to say, it's just very grateful to be on with you guys today. Very grateful for the opportunity to reconnect my friend before he was taken away. And just very grateful for the moments that we share together as a family and as friends. Bob is our co-pilot. Coach Bell is watching over us. Love you guys. Hope to see you next week.
Great. I want to thank all three of you guys for being on, Chris, Zito, Ty, and Bob.
I couldn't do the show without you. You guys do a fantastic job each and every week. I know that Coach Bell is looking at us, and he's sitting there with his friend Bob. They're probably both having a cigar and a beer, and they're just chuckling at what Benny did tonight. So, which is typical in the life of Benny.
All right. See you guys next week. All right.
Thanks, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the women police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please let them know you're there. The most important thing right now is that everybody, please be safe. Please take a mask if you go outside and you go into any stores or anything like that. We would like to have you back next week. We appreciate everything you do for us, and we appreciate the listenership. These programs are dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrol Officer Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendrick, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogo, Longview County Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Conant, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Special Detective FDLE, Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Ballard, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highland County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Officer Bob McKetchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department, and Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, that sometime will be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose raise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields, the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and have a great week.
Shema Hezahir Ma Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma'ir Ma So I wish him strength and length of days. Shame on him, my Irma. Shame on him, my Irma. Soon the shame will be for me again, my Irma.
Love you and I miss you.